Amy Storr is bringing the word of the Lord today, and so excited about this message on worship. Amy, if there's one person qualified for this message, there's two things I know about my wife in 30 years of marriage. She prays and she worships, and she makes it the best oatmeal cookie on the planet. But, you know, these three things I know for sure, that you're a prayer warrior and you're a worshiper. And so I'm excited to be stirred to hear what the Lord's given you to encourage us in this lifestyle of worship. So, Amy, would you come forward? Let's give Amy a hand clap as she comes forward.
Where you were on September 11th, 15 years ago, when we watched the images and almost with unbelief, disbelief of what was happening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so excited. We're in church today. I'm excited about God's word. And I believe today that he has something for us that's going to transform us and change us. And the title of today's message is Having a Lifestyle of Worship. And sometimes when we think about worship, we think about that 30-minute slot in the beginning of our church services where we're worshiping him. And by the way, thank you, worship team, for the beautiful worship this morning. But I think more than any other time, God is wanting us at this time of history, at this time in the kingdom, that we understand how to have a lifestyle of worshiping him. And not just by the letter, not just because we're commanded to worship him, but because we delight in him. And we have an understanding of his goodness in our life, his faithfulness to us. And so we are worshipers of the living God. And in being worshipers, he also delights in us. And really, this is a time of history where, you know, God's word says that he searches throughout the whole earth to find those who have a heart perfect toward him, worshiping him. And how many of you want to be a person who has a heart toward the Lord?
Yes.
So, Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here today to transform us and change us and elevate us to a new level of our daily living, that we would know your presence moment by moment throughout each day. And Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding today to see who you are, to see who we are in light of you, to see how you have positioned us, Lord, to worship you. And in so doing, your presence to come through us to this earth. And so, Lord, we worship you now. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. And we open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. By the Spirit of God, we invite you to teach us, instruct us, and transform us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
You should have also received some notes. These notes are actually for you. I'm going to explain these at the end, but you'll be taking this with you today because we're going to have a 30-day challenge experiment on worship that I'm going to give you at the end of the message. But I'd like to just begin speaking about lifestyle of worship today with Jesus' words to us, his command to us before he left this earth. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And this is a very familiar verse, but this is where we're going to start this morning. And this is what Jesus said to him and what he says to us, that you will love. Let's say it together. You will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I think when it all comes down to it, if we can just remember this one command from Jesus, to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the greatest commandment. This is the assignment of our life. And I believe this is the key to walking with the Lord every single day of life. Raise your hand if you want to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know who teaches us how to do this? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with you every day to teach you how to love God and delight in Him. And I think we can spend a lifetime learning how to love God with all of our heart. Today's message, I really want to talk about practically obeying this loving God with all of our heart by having a lifestyle of worship. And to do that, I want to look at an example of a precious one in God's Word, Mary Magdalene. And so I believe we're going to have the scripture up on the screen. And if you'll turn to Luke chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And let's read this together, shall we? "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table," let's read this together, shall we? "In the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil." I love this precious, precious Mary Magdalene. And as we speak about her today, I just want to give a little bit of background about her. I just picture her. The Bible says that she was a notable sinner in the city. A notable sinner in the city. And I just picture that at some point she encountered Jesus. And it says that she had seven devils. And at some point, Jesus and this precious woman intersected. And he delivered her of seven demons and set her free. A notable sinner. How many of you know that we're all notable sinners? And so we can relate to her. She was a notable sinner. It doesn't say what she did, but we might be able to imagine what she was known for and what her life was like. But one day, as she was just going along in her pattern of living, she met Jesus, the Messiah, who saw her where she was and set her free from seven devils. And so as we see this story now, she has found out where Jesus is, in the house of a Pharisee. And I think, I just picture her, you know, she's been set free. And I think when she comes to her senses of the shock of it, "The demons have left me. I've been forgiven. The Master has set me on a new course of life." And how many of you can think of some things in your life that Jesus has done? When she thought of and really thought about and remembered the experience of Jesus setting her free, her first thought was, "I must go find him and I must say thank you and I must worship him." And so she finds out where he is, and she comes to the house. And I just love the picture that as she comes to this Pharisee's house, we see her at his feet behind Jesus weeping. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And so, number one, what did her gratitude and her gratefulness and her overwhelming sense of what God had done for her, what did it cause her to do? It caused her to find him, find the place where he was, and move toward him so that she could say thank you. And I think the Lord is asking us at this time to move toward him in praise and thanksgiving and worship and give him honor and thanks. And what did she do? She stood at his feet behind him, began to wash his feet with her tears. And so she did something. She brought something. She brought her tears. She brought what she had. And she anointed and kissed his feet. She washed his feet and applied the ointment to his feet. And she actually presented the most beautiful act of worship while everyone else in the room was just looking on. And some of the people in the room even criticized her, didn't they? And I think we're living in a moment where as we see her life, this is what the Lord is desiring us to do. to push through the obstacles of our life and the sometimes complacency of our life, the busyness of our life, remembering what He's done for us, to find Him in the place that He is, and to begin to act in an act of worship, worshiping Him. And what's so amazing about this story is later, in verse 44, is some of the Pharisees there are criticizing her and wondering what's happening because she's a woman known for her sin and known in the city. Jesus gave note. He made note that she worshiped Him. And he said, "Don't you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. She has wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet and anoint my head. And therefore I say unto her that her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. For whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. But to whom much is given, but to whom much is forgiven, he loves much." And so we see that Mary's love provoked her to move. Mary's love provoked her to find the Savior. Mary's love provoked her to give what she had in worship of Him. And He took note of it. And if you follow the course of her life, she became one of Jesus' chief disciples. She was there at the tomb. She was there on the cross. She was there for the anointing. She was there before He went to heaven. He appeared to who? To Mary, His beloved disciple. And I'm sure after He left this earth, she was very busy telling about her Savior. But I really love thinking about Mary because I think that this act of her extreme, extravagant worship shows the kind of heart that God wants us to have of lavishly worshiping Him. And so it's that I want to talk about today. Not that we're going through the motions, but that an intentional part of our life is spent in thanking and praising and worshiping Him. And you really have to almost do it on purpose. Because how many of us know that life gets very busy? And before you know it, our life is just sort of going day after day after day. Certain things happen, failures happen, disappointments happen, busyness happens. And all of a sudden, we're not remembering each day about the greatness of our God and the reality of His presence. So I want to encourage us today of having an intentional life of thanksgiving and praise and worship. You know, one of the things I think that's so key about a lifestyle of worship and praise is this idea of wonder. And we see that Jesus has commanded us to worship the Lord. But so many times we've lost the wonder of who He is and remembering what He's done that puts us in a place of worshiping Him. And so did you ever notice that word wonderful? Wonderful is the having wonder, being full of wonder. And at this time, the Lord's wanting us to be wonderful Christians, not Christians that are wandering in the wilderness, but being full of wonder, not complaining, not thinking about all of the natural things, but filled with the wonder of who He is. What are we thinking about in our life? You know, the mark of the early church, when you see what was happening as that early church first began in the book of Acts, one of the marks of the early church was that they had a marked corporate praise and thanksgiving and a personal praise and thanksgiving. And because of this, there was a great presence of God that not only was touching their lives, but was drawing many people that were not of the Lord to come in and be pointed to Him. And in this hour, how the world needs to see us as people who are full of thanks and full of praise, full of hearts of worship that will not only draw the presence of God in our life, but draw others to the reality of His presence. And so I want to encourage us today, if we're going to have a lifestyle of worship, it has to first begin with a time of intentional meeting with the Lord in thanksgiving. And when we look at the life of Jesus, what did he do? A long while before the dawn, Jesus got up and he spent time with the Father, didn't he? And I can imagine that he spent time just thanking the Father and loving the Father. You get the idea that as he went through the different parts of his life, healing people, raising people from the dead, even choosing his disciples, he was meeting with the Father, thanking and worshiping the Father. And from that place of worship, he was able to do all that the Father had for him to do in the earth. And that's the life that God's calling us to now. Not that we would be people who are full of fear, but that in his presence we would find all that he wants to give us to live in this earth. I think the Lord really likes hanging around thankful people. And he's no respecter of persons, but I think the Holy Spirit enjoys hanging around people that are thankful, don't you? Would you rather hang around a complainer or a person who's thankful? Someone who's always murmuring or someone who's always delighting in God? Which would you rather hang around? And I think the presence of God sort of hangs around us as we have hearts of thanksgiving and our mouths are expressing thanksgiving to God. So I want to challenge us today that as we make a time during our day to spend time in secret, to truly enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, this will set us up to experience his presence throughout the day. You know, David had the tabernacle, and it's a great picture of praise to the Lord, because Psalm 100 says we enter into the gates of that place where God is with thanksgiving. And then we come into the courts with praising him. And so there's a pattern of how, though the Lord is always with us, he lives in us, he's dwelling in us. Experientially, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And how do we draw near to him? We draw near to him with our thanksgiving. When you can begin to thank the Lord out of your mouth, all of a sudden it repositions you into a new place of his presence. Because you're no longer focusing on all the natural things of this world and your natural circumstances and your natural battles and your natural failures, but you begin to focus on what you're thankful for. And in doing so, you are repositioned to a new place of living. Thanksgiving always is expressed. Gratitude can be in our hearts. But thanksgiving is always expressed, and it's that thanksgiving that the enemy will try to keep you from thanking God out loud with your mouth. But God wants us to make a time every day to come to him, entering his gates with thanksgiving. Entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And so let's just talk about this thanksgiving for a moment. In order to be thankful, you have to ponder and reflect and think about things just a little bit. And that's where I think the Lord wants us to push the pause button, to get in his presence for a specific time, and even throughout the day to stop. Remember elementary school? Did your teacher sing this song? Stop, look, and listen. And then you're supposed to sing, I will. That's what they did in our kids' class. But I think the Lord throughout the day wants us to stop, look, and listen, and to pause, to selah for a moment, and remember, didn't he tell the Israelites, these things that I've done, these things that I've spoken to you about, I want you to rehearse and talk about when you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, rehearse these things. Remember these things. And so when we have our time with the Lord, begin to rehearse and meditate from Genesis to Revelation the things that the Lord has done. His greatness and his mercy and his loving kindness, his Hasid love, his covenant, all of the amazing things in the Word of God that we can thank him for. And then you can begin to write down and itemize and rehearse his goodness in your life? And how many of you are thankful that He found you in darkness and brought you into light? How many are grateful that He has forgiven you of your mistakes? You know, so many people are paralyzed by their mistakes and the things that they've done wrong in life. And God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to come with thanksgiving, thanking Him for His forgiveness, thanking Him for the blood of Jesus, thanking Him for His faithfulness in our lives. So many times when I am spending time thanking God, I think about Him as Creator. And I begin to rehearse in my mind the amazing things He has created that display His glory and His faithfulness. Think about the butterfly. Think about puppies. Think about all the galaxies. Think about the human body that is working perfectly right now without us even having to think about all the operations that are happening. I think about all of the oceans and those waves coming in and all of the life underneath the oceans and the mountains and the splendor of even the deserts. I begin to think about God's creation, that He spoke and all this existed. And I begin all of a sudden not to be seeing my own smallness, but His magnificence, and my thanksgiving puts me in a new place of thinking. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. Oh Lord, let's just lift our hands and thank Him right now. Thankful people. Thankful people. Lord, we thank You so much. You know, I think of thankful people as people with their hands open and outstretched to God. And because of that, they're able to stretch their hands out with a generosity to the world around us. And when I think of unthankful people, I think of people that are wringing their hands in hopelessness or fear or clenched fists, stingily, not wanting to give too much because they're afraid of running out. But there's a lack of generosity. But how many of us want to be the first one? Thankful. And that thankfulness opens us up to have the very generosity of God for this earth. Oh, 7 times a day, the Bible says, we will praise You and thank You. And if you can't think of anything to thank Him about, begin to open up the book of Psalms and thank Him. You know, when we come to the 30-day challenge, I'm going to encourage you to get a new praise and thanksgiving and worship notebook. And as you begin to just write down the things in the next 30 days that you're thankful about, and you rehearse those things and you meditate on those things, oh, your heart will be brought from wherever it is right now into a new place of trusting Him and loving Him. At midnight, I will rise and give thanks to You, O Lord. I give thanks to You with the rising of the dawn. From the rising of the sun till the time that it goes down, the name of the Lord will be thanked and praised and worshiped. Mary Magdalene had a thankful heart, didn't she? Remember the 10 lepers? How many came back? Just one. But the Word of God takes note of the one that came back with thankfulness. Are we taking time to thank the Lord? And is it for Him or is it for us? Does He need to be thanked? No, but He instructs us to thank Him and acknowledge Him so that we understand who He is and that He is well able and He is our Father and our Provider and He is faithful. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Entering His gates with thanksgiving and throughout the day. You know, if you could take an inventory of the number of your words that you spoke and then classify those words into words of thanksgiving, praise, adoration, and life, and then all the words over here on this side are words of doubt, complaining, fear, unbelief. If we check up on our words, and out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is speaking, if this tally was made on a given day with you, how would your words on that scale be adding up? Good news is, we can increase the one. And at least over here, we can push the pause button on some of the overweight of this other one if that's overweighing you, those other kind of words. But the Lord wants us to have an abundance of words of life and thanksgiving and praise. And as we do so, His very presence is being released. His very presence is coming into our life. Our thanksgiving, I believe, positions us in a place of walking with the Lord in the fullness of His presence. So how many of you want to be a person of gratitude and thanksgiving? Well, you got to on purpose meditate on and remember. You know, the Israelites, what kept them in not entering into the promised land? It was their murmuring. It was their complaining. It was their thinking about all the natural things that weren't right. But don't be too hard on them, because we do the same thing quite often, don't we? Could it be that we might be preventing ourselves from God's promised land in our life by the very words that we're speaking? The Lord wanted those precious Israelites to learn how to thank Him and praise Him, even in the worst of situations, because wasn't He providing them with manna? Wasn't He leading them with a pillar of fire and cloud? Wasn't their shoes not wearing out? And yet they were continually looking back to the familiarity of Egypt, where they were in bondage, but it was familiar, where they had no freedom, but they didn't have to fight so hard and work so hard. And yet God was trying to take them out of that slave mentality and put them in their promised land with a son and daughter mentality of thanksgiving and praise. It took them a long time to learn this, didn't it? Thank You, Lord, that we would be a people of thanksgiving and not a people of murmuring and looking back to the things of Egypt. Raise your hand if God has brought you out of some things in your life. And His word has been true in your life. He's been faithful in your life. And He has a promised land for us to walk in, not just for us, but because we're living in the most important time of human history. And we must be who He's made us to be at this time. And our life of thanksgiving and praise and worship is a key of walking in who He has made us to be now. Thanksgiving positions us in walking as sons and daughters. Oh, thank You, Lord, that we'd be a thankful people walking in our promised land. And even when they got in the promised land, didn't they still have to drive some giants out and some scary things that were still lingering around in the land? They had to drive out with thanksgiving and the word and victory in Him. And so, Lord, we will awaken the dawn with our thanksgiving. And now, Psalm 100, enter into His courts with praise. Now, praise is a little bit different than thanksgiving, and we should become excellent at both. Praise is remembering who He is. And how do we know who He is? He reveals Himself to us in His word. Let's just begin to praise Him now. Lord, we thank You and praise You that You are Redeemer. We praise You that You are Good Shepherd. We praise You that You are soon and coming King. We praise You because You are righteousness. We praise You, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We praise You, our provider. We praise You, our all in all. We praise You, the commander of the Lord's armies. Begin to write down in your book of praise who He is, and every day praise Him as who He is, and you will begin to see the manifestation of who He is in your life at a greater measure. It's time we not look at the temporary situations of our life and the circumstances that are subject to change, but turn our gaze upon Him and praising Him. And what will happen when we praise the one who is these things that we are praising Him for? He will begin to reveal Himself as that in our life. Lord, we praise You today. We praise You and we worship You. And as we come to Him in praise and worship, come as a son and as a daughter. Don't come as a lowly, insignificant worm. And I hear this from people, oh, well, I'm just so not worthy to come into the presence of God. Jesus made a way for us to come into the very presence of God, accessed by the blood of the Lamb. The veil has been torn in two, that we have access by that blood to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And the Lord wants us to come as His sons and His daughters. I'm thinking about our kids. Would it be ridiculous if when our children who might be in need or might be wanting to come be with us or might have a situation in their life, and they come to Matt and they just come crawling on their hands and knees. Oh, Dad, I'm just not worthy to even come into your presence. I'm just a worm. I want to ask you to. No, that would be ridiculous, because they have a relationship with their Father. They know He's their Father. And so we need to know that He is our Father. We are His children. We come because we can, and He has made a way for us to come as children. Abba, Father, we come. And we come humbly, but we don't have a false idea of our insignificance. We come because He's elevated us to a place of being fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. We are in Him. He is in us. We're covered in His righteousness, and by His blood we come now. And when He sees us, He sees the Son. When He sees us, He sees the blood. And He says, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Come. You know what He's beckoning His children today? Come, come, come. I know it's overwhelming. Come unto me. I know you don't have wisdom, so come unto me. I am wisdom. And when you come unto me, come with great thanksgiving and praise for who I am. You know, praise will elevate your faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right, Tina? You are always talking about this. Without faith, we can't please God. How do we walk by faith? Praising Him for who He is. Begins to make the reality of His names and the reality of Jesus, the King of Kings, our Deliverer, our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer, become true in our life. Oh Lord, teach us how to praise You well. Teach us how to not be moved by all the natural circumstances of this earth. Listen, for such a time as this, the Lord has put you in the earth. We are in the earth for the most important time of the church. And He chose you specifically to be here right now. And He has not left you unequipped. He has not left you without every bit of weaponry that you need. But He wants us to live in Him and walk with Him. And He wants praise to be a continual part of our days and our life, knowing in whom we have believed. His children should look like Him. His children should walk like Him in the earth. His children should be a reflection of all that He is. And your praise will elevate your faith that you could walk as His child in the earth in great victory. And so, Lord, teach us how to praise You. Thank You, Lord. Sometimes I often run out of words for praising. So I open up the Psalms. David, though he made many mistakes in his life, he knew how to praise the Lord and give thanks. And we have the record of it right here in Psalms. And I'll just pick up these beautiful Psalms. And when I run out of words or I'm too overwhelmed, I'll begin to read from David's words. And I'll say, oh Lord, I'm waiting patiently for You. And I thank You that You're inclining to me and hearing my cry. Thank You that You've brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You've set my feet upon a rock, and I praise You. Lord, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. I'm making You my trust today, Lord. My heart pants hard after You. My soul is thirsting after You. As the deer pants for the waters, I'm seeking after You. I'm praising You. And as I begin to position myself in the Psalms and out loud praise Him, in secret and throughout the day, I begin to sense His presence with me. Because He's an all-consuming fire. And as we approach Him in praise and worship, He inhabits those praises. He begins to inhabit the Word as we rehearse it back to Him, and as we stand upon this Word, this praise is elevating us to a place of walking in His presence. And the enemy recognizes it as well. Praise will fortify you to a place that praise becomes a shield of faith. That praise becomes a shield about you that no fiery dart of the enemy can penetrate. Praise is actually a weapon. Praise not only pleases the Father and positions you in Him, but it is a weapon against an enemy who is arrayed against you every single day. We don't need to be pummeled by the enemy because Jesus has already defeated him. But what happens in our minds? I'll tell you what happens, because this happens with me so often. I begin to rehearse, instead of what God's Word says and who He says, I begin to rehearse what I'm seeing. I begin to rehearse what I'm hearing with my natural ears. I begin to rehearse my failures, my inadequacies, what other people have said and done that are disappointments. I begin to rehearse how overwhelmed I am when I turn on the news and this is happening and that, when all the while, the Lord wants me to not be moved by that, but He wants me to find the truth of who He is and begin to stir myself up in praising Him. Everything else is subject to change. Everything else is coming in line with the will of God, but I must not allow myself to stay in here. I must, by my own choosing, bring myself to a place of praising and worshiping. And pretty soon, the Spirit of the living God begins to elevate me into a new place of living. That in that place, I can operate in faith. In that place, I can operate in joy. In that place, I can operate in wisdom, hearing His voice. Neurophysicists have done studies that the actual thoughts of our brain, what we're thinking about, actually can be documented and seen. And they've seen the patterns of people thinking thoughts of unforgiveness and failure and negative thoughts of fear. Those are actually in your brain looking like, and they have the pictures that they can document now with the instrumentation of black, snarly, encompassing like roots. And on the other hand, those thoughts that are life and blessing and God's Word and thinking about Him are almost like trees of life, the dendrites going out and with a life, not black, but a different color, life and the roots going down. And it can actually be documented. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What are we thinking? What are you thinking about? It's very important because you'll live life out based on the level of what you're thinking. And if you're constantly thinking, I'm a failure, I'm never going to succeed, I'm overwhelmed by what's happening in the world, I've got this sin in my life I will never be able to overcome. If you continually think that way, you are limiting yourself. But the Lord gave us the ability to choose life. Choose you this day. Choose to praise me. Choose to thank me. Choose to worship me. And in the process, I will transform you. And I will transform circumstances. And your mouth will speak forth my word and my greatness. And my Holy Spirit will take that word and begin to change the things in this earth. Amen. Do you have something in your life that is a besetting sin, something that's grieving to the Lord? I want to encourage you in this. If you will make it your daily habit to approach the Lord as a son and as a daughter and thank Him for His precious blood and the power of that blood. You know, the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. It's right now on the mercy seat. It's speaking of His forgiveness. Did you know in the place of praise, in the place of worshiping Him, I believe the Lord will set us free of sin in our life. And the Lord will elevate us up to a place where He will even take desires in our heart that we just can't seem to get rid of. We can't get victory over. In the place of praising and worshiping Him, His presence will remove these sins and weights that have attached themselves to us. and we'll be set free so that we can set others free. There is no sin, no habit, nothing that has attached itself to you that in praise and worship the Lord cannot or will not remove. His power is so great in worship. And, you know, I think of so much of the evil in the world, and I think of how much of that worldliness that has come into the church. And so many times, as children of God, we're so sad about things that have a hold of us in our life. But I believe the Lord's wanting us to come to Him in transparency, not acting super religious, but come with these things that have gripped onto us or in our weakness or whatever it is. We just come very honestly to Him and we say, Lord, I just come to You and I ask for Your forgiveness and I'm asking You to transform me and I'm praising You that You are my Redeemer. You are the Lord of my life. And I thank You that You're well able to remove even the desire of this thing from me. And if we'll continue that, there is no sin that we cannot be set free of so that we can walk with Him in the days of our life. So, Lord, thank You. It's in praise. It's in worshiping Him that these things are removed. And aren't you grateful about that? Thank You, Lord. The enemy will try to get us to go the other direction. We're not worthy. The Lord is saying, come. It's not your worthiness. It's I have done everything and paid the price so that you could be completely free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thessalonians, Paul says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, giving thanks. And then, as we become proficient in thanking God and praising Him, a natural progression is that we truly become worshipers, just adoring Him every day and worshiping Him every day in spirit and in truth. And the Holy Spirit will teach you how to be a worshiper like Mary Magdalene. I just picture Mary. You know, there was nothing religious about her. She just knew that the Lord had set her free. And she came to worship Him. And she brought what she had, her tears. And she brought her alabaster jar. And she worshiped Him with what she had, with a complete love and adoration. And in that worship, He elevated her to a place that we are reading about her today as an example of her worship. And I wonder what would happen if we as the body of Christ of this hour would simply commit to being people of worship, trusting that all of the other things about our life that aren't perfect yet, the Lord is able to set us free from and elevate us out of and truly enable us to be a fragrance of Him wherever we go that is directing people toward the Lord. So Lord, teach us how to worship. Teach us how to greet the dawn in worship. Teach us how to worship You in spirit and in truth. You know, one thing I love about being in God's presence, His presence is a consuming fire. Now, for some, that might be a scary thought, but I welcome that consuming fire because I want the Lord to burn off of me and out of me anything that is keeping me from walking fully in His presence. And so how about when we come to Him in worship, we say, Lord, I praise and worship You, the all-consuming fire. And allow that fire to consume any bit of cold love in our lives, any bit of sin in our life, and that His fire, His consuming fire, would become a mark of our life that draws others to Him. And burns out the complacency and burns out the apathy and burns out anything that is keeping us from the fullness of Him. Oh, Lord, thank You that You are a consuming fire in our life. Lord, we have an awe of You. We're thinking of You. Lord, we want to become true worshipers of You. And so I want to challenge us today, if you'll get out your page right here, Lifestyle of Worship page. You know, everything in our life, I think, in order to go forward, we have to make intentional decisions to move. And we know, I'm thinking of those lepers that were sitting outside of the city. They said, "Why sit we here until we die?" They decided they were going to move forward toward the victory, toward what God had. Deborah, you know, on Mount Tabor, I often picture her. There was an army encamped, an army arrayed that the Israelites were no match for. And Deborah and Barak and the people of God, in obedience to God's word, began to charge toward that enemy. They moved toward the enemy. And in their pursuit, as they obeyed the Lord, he routed the enemy with a flood. Unexpected, that they couldn't have even dreamed up how that answer was going to come. But the enemy was destroyed that day. Praise and worship and thanksgiving is an act of obedience and delight to the Lord that in turn, he will destroy our enemies in our life as we just move toward him. Even if we just move with childlike faith, all of us, no matter how immature we are in the Lord, we can all say thank you, right? We can all praise him, right? We can all worship him. And in so doing, I believe God is going to rout our enemies, destroy enemies. We're worshiping him, he's destroying our enemies. We're worshiping him, and he is resisting enemies in our life. In the place of worship, not only are we pleasing God, but I want to tell you what will happen. In his presence is fullness of... If you notice your joy level down, in the presence of the Lord, he will restore joy to you. In his presence is wisdom. How many of you need wisdom for this time? I mean, frankly, we are living in a weird time, and we need the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And you will become familiar with his voice and his leading in this time of praise and worship, also throughout the day. Stopping. Stop, look, and listen. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for your wisdom and understanding. It's a continual pipeline to the Holy Ghost and his wisdom and understanding as we worship him. In his presence is much forgiveness of our sin. In his presence is really all we have need of in him. Inspired ideas, inspired revelation. How many of you need a big dose of the love of God so you can love people in your life that are kind of unlovable? In this place of praising and worshiping, I don't know how it happens, but his literal love begins to smear on us. His presence begins to smear on us, and he is love. And he begins to enable us as we become praisers and worshipers and thanksgiving people. His love begins to smear on us and fill us in such a way that we love supernaturally the most difficult to love people. You've experienced this. And the more we're with him, the more he enables us to love people hilariously and without measure. And that love moves us to do things we would never do on our own. Lavishly. Oh, thank you, Lord. And so I want to give this 30-day worship lifestyle experiment challenge to us today. Raise your hand if you're up for a challenge and an experiment. 30 days of going to a new level of worshiping him. Number one, I want you to fill in the number of minutes. Begin the day with blank minutes of time spent for one thing. Not asking him for anything. Not rehearsing all your problems to him. But for one thing, to thank him and to praise him. And to worship him, and just to wait upon him in worship. And by the way, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord cannot hear us. So would you take advantage of the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood? As you come into those gates, just thank him for his forgiveness. Thank him for the blood of Jesus. Acknowledge that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But by his blood, there is forgiveness. So, Lord, thank you for the blood. always enter by the blood. And don't let the enemy tell you you're unworthy because of your sin. When you come by the blood, he doesn't see the sin. He doesn't remember your sin. It is under the blood. As far as the east is from the west, but in your mind, the enemy tries to tell you about your failures. You must believe the word of God, not what your mind's telling you. And you must leave those things under the blood. Under the blood. There's so many failures in my life that the enemy will try to bring up, and I must keep those under the blood. That is walking by faith. Not to bring those out from under the blood, but keep them under the blood. Knowing that I have access to the Father, not because of my good works, that I've done everything right, but because I'm clothed in His righteousness. And I'm coming in Him. I'm coming in Jesus to the Father. When He sees me, He sees the blood. It's not my righteousness, but it's being who He created me to be, a new creation that's worthy to have access to Him at any moment. At 2 a.m, at 8 a.m., wherever I am on the planet, access to Him. Guys, this is good news. At every moment, you have access to the living God because He's positioned you there. He now does not dwell in temples made with hands, but He dwells in our very heart. And so we have access to Him every moment of every day. And so you're going to set an appointment with the Lord just for praising and thanking and worshiping Him. It could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is. But you're going to set this time only for praise. Watch, this will change your life. Number two, get a worship journal or create one on your phone. And every day begin to write down what you're thankful for. Page after page. Write down the littlest things. Page after page. What you're thankful about in your life, in the Word, what God's done for you. I'm particularly thankful about puppies. I love puppies. I think puppies are one of God's greatest inventions. I'm really thankful about my family. I'm thankful for my precious husband and my kids. I'm so thankful that the sun came up today. I'm so grateful for the ocean. I'm so thankful about, and I just have these things written down. I'm thankful about God's word that never fails. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is living in me. I'm thankful for all the angels that God has given as ministering servants for us every single day. I'm thankful that His word is forever settled in heaven and it's living and alive. I'm thankful for the armor of God, the presence of God. The list is endless, and that's why you can write in this list every single day and never get to the end of it. Write down your thoughts and verses that the Lord gives you about worship and thanksgiving, and write in that journal. And number three, every day rehearse what the previous days were and then begin again. And the next day, rehearse what the previous day's writing were and begin again. And what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're going to begin to live life with a whole new heart of praise and thanksgiving. And when you get a bad report, you're going to be conditioned to say thank you in advance. Lord, I thank you and I praise you because I see your faithfulness. I see the reality of who you are. And instead of getting in agreement with the enemy of what is, I'm thanking you for what will be. I'm thanking you for what will be. I'm thanking you for a manifestation of your word. For I know who you are. Number four, practice praising and thanking and worshiping the Lord throughout the day. Pause at a designated time. Maybe on the top of the hour, 5 minutes to the hour. You know, the Bible says, morning, noon, and night will I praise you. 7 times a day I will praise you. Whatever it is, stop throughout the day to do nothing. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I worship you right now, Lord. Even in the midst of this darkness happening, I want to praise you. And I want to thank you. And as you continue to do this, you're going to be walking at a whole new level of dwelling with the Holy Spirit. He'll show you what to do in that moment. He'll set you free of what you need to be set free of in that moment. You'll walk in His protection. You'll walk in a whole new level. Number five, every time you want to complain, thank God for something instead. So when you feel yourself wanting to complain, push the pause, and thank God for something instead. You're going to love this, and your whole family's going to love it a lot too, especially your spouse. And the Lord's going to love that, Matthew. Number 10, learn 10 praise verses from the Psalms. This will be easy just memorize 10 praise verses in the next 30 days. If you know those verses, that's the living word of God that's going to come up in you and out of you, and you'll just remind yourself as you're speaking those praise verses, that will be life to you. Number 7, invite the Lord every day. Everybody say every day. To reveal himself and his plans for you, his thoughts for you, his wisdom in new ways. If you will invite the Lord to do this, he is going to honor your invitation. Invite him to reveal himself to you in a new way. This is a brand new day. You cannot rely on how you lived yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's not the same hour. This is a right now moment that we need his right now grace, his right now wisdom, his right now way of living, his right now understanding. And so you can't rely on everything from back there. Remember Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, pray this way, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so, Lord, we're praising you for this day. This day is supply. And number 8, tell others about his faithfulness every single day. Even if it's just one person, rehearse his faithfulness. Every time you do, you're reminding yourself to praise him and thank him. Let's stand up and we're going to close thanking him. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to be worshipers. We want to be praisers. We want our life to be marked. Did you guys know that all of heaven is praising God right now? All the angels are worshiping God. All of those heavenly creatures and beings are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. For eternities upon eternities, there is something that will never end. That is the word of God, and that is praise for him. He is so magnificent and so worthy of praise that praise for him will never cease. All of heaven is praising, and all of us here on earth should join our voices with all of heaven and with our brothers and sisters around this earth in praise to our King. And what will we see as we begin to arise and shine? For his light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. What's going to happen is the world is going to begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ through his praising church. Through his worshiping church, through his worshiping body, the world will see a reflection of the reality of his presence. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you. An hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that hour is right now. So, Lord, we want to be marked and known by you and by this world and by all of hell's forces that we are worshipers of the living God. We worship you in spirit and in truth. If there's one thing we learn, Lord, let us learn to be worshipers and people of thanksgiving and praise. Today, we choose. Lord, you've given us a free will to choose this day. And so we choose to worship you. We choose to praise you. Even though, Lord, our experience has not lined up with your truth in many ways, we praise you for the reality of your word. And we thank you, Father. Pastor Matt, would you come? And would you just close us in a prayer as we make this dedication today? And I believe the Lord's meeting us right here this morning, that he's putting us at a new level. And as we go from this place, we're walking at a new level with him in worship.
Everyone, as we leave today, can we just come to the altar right now? Just leave your seat. We're going to pray together at the altar.
Oh, thank you, Lord. And we can close with this song as well. Oh, we worship you. We praise
you. Get close.
We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we call unto you. We come to you. We love you. We worship you. We worship you,
listen,
the children.
Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, he said, because of the increase of iniquity,
the love of many
will grow
cold.
Will grow cold.
Not us, Lord.
When there is no praise on your lips, Lord, and no worship in your heart for the King, your heart is cold.
Lord,
you've been removed from His presence, either by a lifestyle or by circumstances that came upon you.
Thank
this is
you,
why
Father.
This is important today.
Don't want our love to grow cold.
Is to be a worshiper, is to be healthy.
Red hot for you.
The believer must be a worshiper. I've honestly, there's two kinds of Christians I've never found to be unstable or weak or feeble. Soul winners and worshipers. If we will worship Him and have this as our lifestyle from the heart, it will keep us from that pharisaical religious thing that creeps on many people. It will keep us burning in love. Worship is love.
We love you, Lord.
And this picture of Magdalene,
we worship you,
that we have today, she's always at His feet. That's a great position. And let that be our prayer. Jesus, may I be found at your feet.
May we be found at your feet every day.
May I be found at your feet.
We love you, Lord.
Presenting what I have. My alabaster jar.
We present
my life.
Our jar of
what's
oil.
In my life. May
I
be able
life.
To use that and anoint your feet.
Yes, Lord.
So, Heavenly Father, today, as all of us are at the altar, Lord, we take this moment before you and we ask by your Holy Spirit that you would move us in your word that would penetrate the hardness of our hearts, if there be that in our heart. Lord, that we would be tender and gentle. Lord, that we would be fervently and on fire for you.
No cold love,
Lord. Lord, that we would be passionate in our worship of you. That we would be unashamed of our worship for you. And that we would not be found worshiping ourselves.
Or worshiping idols.
Lord, that we would be found worshiping you. Loving you with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, right now. We ask for a spirit of worship at the river. Possess us in a way that we've never been known. We've never known you before. Take us to depths that we've not known. Lord, keep us. Lord, help us not to live our life in the outer court. May we live in the Holy of Holies. May your fire fall, Lord, upon our hearts. May our hearts burn for you. And may not one of us be lukewarm in our love.
No lukewarm.
May it be fervent, hot, red hot love for you.
Walking
to where we can say joyfully, whether we live unto you. Whether we die unto you. Whether we live or die, we are yours.
We are yours.
We present ourselves to you.
Now
say this prayer with me, Jesus.
Jesus.
Today, with all your mercies, all the many reasons, you're the God of my salvation.
You are the God of my salvation.
And in response to this,
abundance of mercy and grace,
I now present myself,
to you,
my King,
my Lord,
the lover of my soul. I present myself to you. As a living sacrifice. Holy. Now listen, that's W for right now in this prayer. Holy is W-H-O-L-L-E-Y. Holy, completely unto you. Which is my intelligent worship. Say it with me. With my intelligent worship. I worship you.
I worship you.
With all that I am, I have, I am yours.
Thank you, Lord.
Without restraint, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lift your hands and just thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father. Whatever you want to sing.
It's a great day, guys.
We're going to close in a song.
Let's, hey, guys, let's close in this song right here.